Well, good morning, everyone. It is Christmas time again, of course, and with that comes the inundating of consumerism and busyness and all these kind of things that we get caught up with. And so often we get so caught up with those things that we forget that there's a lot of need around us, a lot of need even especially right in our very city. And thankfully to Pastor Zach, we have this wonderful ministry that we'll be doing to be able to serve those in the city, and I so encourage you to go out to that. Because I think that sometimes I forget that the Bible teaches that Christians should have something we like to refer to as Christian charity. That those who follow him should have an attitude of gratitude. But so often it seems as though the predominant attitude of our society is like an attitude of ingratitude. And I'm really no exception by that, by any means. I really do believe that my generation is one of the most ungrateful generations. You know, we're spoiled. We have so many things, and yet it seems like all we do is complain and nitpick and those kinds of things. I remember just a few years ago, I was listening to a comedian. It was about 2 years ago, and he was making light of this, and he said that he got onto a plane once, and the pilot came on, and he said, "Hey, you know, for the first time, we have Wi-Fi on the plane." And he thought, wow, this is amazing. It was like the newest technology that he had discovered that he knew about. And he was like, wow, this is amazing. And sure enough, he goes and he's got his laptop open and he's watching YouTube videos and he's emailing all this stuff. And he goes, oh, this is terrific. And then all of a sudden, the internet goes down when they're mid-flight. And the person next to him slams down the lid of his laptop and he goes, this is ridiculous. Like, how quickly the world owes this guy something that he didn't even know existed 10 minutes ago. You didn't even know it existed. And now you're upset because you don't have it. The guy is not having gratitude for the things that he has, and he's actually just complaining about the things that he didn't even know. And for me, when I think about that, I think like the man should be thankful for the fact that he's actually flying to begin with. That he's sitting in a chair in the sky, and he's flying through the air like a majestic eagle, and he's coming across the entire country in a matter of hours, and he's upset because when he's in this chair in the sky, he doesn't have internet. And I think, really, this is something that just shows our ingratitude. And I'm really no exception to this. I do things like this all the time. But I do believe we live in the most amazing yet ungrateful age in all of history. Ungratefulness really is characteristic not just of our generation, but I think it's characteristic of our society. And we see this all the time. We have so many things, yet we tend to use those very things just to complain about that which we have. And so sometimes on the radio, I know especially a few years ago, I used to listen to this one radio program, and they had a section, and it was called First World Problems. And so they would get people, and they would text in and call in and list their problems. And I remember one day this lady said that her problem, and I think it was in all seriousness, was that she didn't have enough chips to finish her dip. But if she went out to buy more chips, then she would have too many chips and not enough dip, right? And at the end, it struck me because the lady was calling in from the town that I lived in at the time, which was just 10,000 people. And I was like, I really felt her pain. I was like, man, because I know how far that store is. To go there, and I was like, man, you know what? I mean, it's still tongue-in-cheek, of course. I didn't really feel her sympathy. But we have a word for this, right? First world problems, right? It's these things that really are so small, and we're complaining about them. Like, literally 2 days ago, I was traveling with my team to go play squash, and we were carpooling together to go visit the other team. And a guy gets in the passenger side, and he's looking up, and he says, does your seatbelt come down? Like, mine comes down. And he goes, no, I don't have that option in my car. And I was like, ah. And he had to like go and like reach. Because, you know, some cars now, they bring the seatbelt so you can reach it easier. Ah, he had to go. And I was in the, you know, behind him, and I could see he was frustrated. I was like, yeah, first world problems. And believe me, all the time I'll be saying something to Lacey and I'll catch myself and I'll be like, wow, this is a first world problem, isn't it? I'm just really complaining and I really shouldn't be. And I think on some level we all do this, don't we? We all do this. We all take for granted the things that we have, and we're not thankful enough for the things that we do have, right? And we all have a tendency to do that, to sort of point out, if you had a beautiful painting, that one part of the painting that's flawed, instead of recognizing the beauty of the whole thing. Or sometimes even in sermons we do this. I mean, I'm guilty of this too sometimes, where, you know, instead of taking in the message, you just focus on that one thing that the guy said that you don't really agree with, or the one slip-up, you know, that he made, and you miss the whole message, right? This is the attitude of our culture. It's an attitude of ingratitude, but it's not what Christ followers are called to. Jesus calls Christ followers to have an attitude of gratitude. Gordon T. Smith, who's the president of our Alliance University, and he's a well-known author who I like to read, he once wrote this: "A Christian mind is essentially informed by two Christian attitudes, humility and gratitude. Growth in faith is dependent on the growth in humility and growth in gratitude." So what Smith is saying here is he's saying that an attitude of gratitude is essentially a mark of the Christian. It's one of those essential Christian characteristics, which is no surprise in why our society would be characteristic as ingratitude. The opposite of that, because God's kingdom is always upside down from the world we live in. So this idea of thankfulness, it's huge. I mean, the Bible talks about it all the time. It's a central topic of Scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he mentions the subject of thanksgiving more often, line for line, than any other author in his era, even close to his era. In fact, if you're familiar with the New Testament, you'll notice that most of Paul's letters both begin and end on a note of thanksgiving. It's all throughout there. And also in the Bible, we have tons of examples of specific commands to actually be thankful. Like the Bible tells us to be thankful. And there's many examples of this. And I would like to just point our attention to two of them in particular today, and just to take a look at those commands to be thankful and what they have to say about how we are to be thankful. So let's take a look at the first one. It comes to us, of course, from the Apostle Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The other one comes to us again from Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So what can we learn about thanksgiving from these two verses? Well, we can learn that we should always give thanks for everything in every situation. Always give thanks for everything in all situations, and that's quite extensive. Kind of covers everything. You ever take a marriage course and they always tell you, you know, never use indefinites, right? Say, don't say, oh, you always do this or you never do that. I'm not saying I don't ever do that, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what they'll say. They'll say, don't ever use those kinds of words. Well, God always uses those kinds of words. Always. I did it again. He always does, right? And this is what he's using. He's using lots of indefinites here to describe an attitude of gratitude. Like it should be something that just permeates like our entire being. And it's not a mistake, it's intentional. God's word is always intentional, and there's a reason he preserved it the way he has and passed that down to us, because he really takes seriously an attitude of gratitude. In 258 AD, there was a well-known Christian martyr by the name of Cyprian, and he was sentenced to death. And the story goes that when he was sentenced to death and he heard his death sentence read out to him, he responded, "I heartily thank Almighty God who was pleased to set me free from the chains of the body." See, the mark of a true mature Christian is always to give thanks to God, always, for everything, in all circumstances, even if you're facing death. And so the question is then, so, are you doing this? Are you always giving God thanks for everything and every circumstance? And chances are, if you're really honest, no, you're not. I know most of us probably, you know, once a day, at least, you know, at the very least, we thank God for our food when we say grace around with our families. But are we thanking him for other things? Are we thanking him, you know, when we drink our coffee in the morning? I do, because I just love my coffee, and I'm just so thankful to have my coffee. There's no coffee in here. People often think there's coffee in here. It's just water. I'm less thankful for water, but I'm still a little thankful. But what are you giving God thanks for? Do you thank God when you're running late for work? Do you thank God when your teacher is giving you a hard time or when your boss is being a jerk? Are you thanking God when you catch a cold? Or are you thanking God, like this morning, thankfully, when I woke up without one? Are we giving God thanks, the thanks that he deserves? Are we having a proper attitude of gratitude that resembles the attitude of gratitude that Jesus had in all circumstances? And chances are, probably not. And so we're left with the question then, well then what do we do about this? How do we change? And as we know, you can't change your attitude, can you? It's hard. You ever have someone, they have a bad attitude? We call it a bad attitude in our house. And you say like, you have a bad attitude. Would you change that? Do you think that's successful? Have you ever tried that? Is that successful with your kids or your wife? Oh, you seem grumpy today. No, it's not helpful. In fact, it makes them worse, right? You do not have the power on your own to change your attitude. However, God can. In fact, specifically, his Holy Spirit helps us and empowers us to have an attitude of gratitude. And he does this through prayer. We hear this right from the passage. If you go back in the passages, you see that the Holy Spirit is all through the passages. Thankfulness, it says, is part of the Spirit-filled life. You know, he talks about being Spirit-filled when he talks about being thankful, right? It's something that flows out of the Spirit-filled life. If you're filled with God's Spirit, you will be thankful, for thankfulness is part of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is a thankful Spirit. He is thankful. The Holy Spirit is always thankful. Jesus was always thankful. He was filled with his Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, so are you, and he empowers you and enables you to be thankful. And not just that, but he illuminates your mind to all of the things that you have to be thankful for. Because believe me, there are so many things, we just don't notice it, right? Like the guy on the airplane that gets mad he doesn't have Wi-Fi, but fails to recognize that he's flying through the sky. There's always things we can be thankful for. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. That's not always a train. Now, if you think you don't have anything to be thankful for, chances are you're just not being creative enough. Let's be honest. Being thankful is not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of perception. How perceptive are you to the blessings that are around you? I'm reminded of a book that came out a few years ago. It was called The Book of Awesome. Remember this? And there's a more recent book that came out, and it's called Even More Awesome. And basically, this guy just wrote this book, became very popular, where he just pointed out the awesomeness of our everyday things that we ignore and take for granted. Here's some examples he had from his book. When you get the milk to cereal ratio just right. That's a good one, eh? Thank God for that. Fixing electronics by smacking them. That's a good one. Dad specializes in that. When cashiers open up a new checkout lane at the grocery store. Seeing a cop on... I heard some... I don't get many of those in church. I don't get many amens, but I'll get some amens to these. Seeing a cop on the side of the road and then realizing you're doing the speed limit anyways. Amen. All right. When you're late... I love this one. When you're late for a meeting... but the person that you're meeting is even later than you. Don't you love that? Yes. Yeah, and then you can judge them and just be like, come on, really? A personal awesomeness for me, maybe you have your own. This one's not in the book, but when I hit a fly out of the air with my fly swatter, you know, not on a surface, but just right out of the air. I play racket sports, so if I can do that, it just makes my day. So as you can see, there are awesome things happening every day all around you, right? If you think you have nothing to be thankful for, you're just not being perceptive enough. You're not being aware of the awesomeness in your life. And you're not being aware that all those good things actually pass from the hands of God. Because the scripture says in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Therefore, every time something awesome happens in your life and you do not give God thanks for that, then you're not paying your debt to him. Because there is a debt. Right, every time. It's like if someone wrapped a present and they gave it to you and they worked hard. My wife crafts and she crafts every Christmas gift. It's like if you gave someone a handcrafted gift and they opened it up and they did not thank you for it. And you would feel a little shortchanged. It's almost like we're shortchanging God every time we do not have an attitude of gratitude towards all the things in our life, every day, all the time. And so tomorrow morning when you wake up, have some perception. When you wake up and you go to get ready for work in the morning and you hit the right, you know, milk to cereal ratio, like, give God thanks for that. When you hit every green light, give God thanks for that. You know, when you get to work and the people greet you and there's Christmas lights on, I mean, like, there's a million things you can be thankful for. Be thankful for all of those things. And so remind yourself. You have to remind yourself to be perceptive, that everything happens for a reason. God is that reason, and therefore he is deserving of all the thankfulness we could ever give him. And when we begin to change our minds from this attitude of ingratitude to an attitude of gratitude, something actually changes within us, and that is we begin to rejoice. If you've ever observed the impact of thankfulness, you'll know this is true. The rejoicing comes up, especially when it comes to God, right? Because it's not like it's just random. It's like, oh, I'm so thankful for that. You have someone to be thankful for, and that person did that thing because they absolutely love you. And so you can actually feel loved every time you recognize that something awesome has happened in your life, even if it's a small thing. And you realize that that is God smiling on you at that very moment, and he's looking at you. And so it does cause you to rejoice and worship and give praise to God. And that's the attitude that a Christian should have, right? Worship in all things, and that is essentially giving thanks to God for all things. In my freshman year of college, I wasn't very familiar with the Bible. I hadn't been a Christian that long. And I first came across this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 scripture for the first time. And I read it, and I was like, this is amazing. Did you know we're supposed to give God thanks in prayer all the time? And if we do that, we will rejoice. And I had just graduated high school. It was my first year in college. So I had, like, physics and algebra in my mind, and so, you know, formulas and all that kind of stuff. And it reminded me of a formula, the classic algebra formula, A plus B equals C. And so I applied it to this scripture, and I said verse 18 plus verse 17 equals verse 16. That is, if you give God thanks always through prayer, then you will rejoice. I believe that's what the scripture is saying, and so I began to apply the simple little formula to my life. And so when I would be feeling, you know, down in the dumps, I would just start just thanking God for things. Just going through and start trying to recognize the things in my life I had to be thankful for. And then all of a sudden, I would just get lifted up out of it, and I would begin to rejoice. And since I've discovered that biblical principle, I mean, I have certainly forgotten it in seasons, but sometimes there'll come a season, and I'll be reminded of it, and I'll come back to it. In fact, just recently, you know, I was having a blah day. You know, I don't have to tell you what this means. You know what this means. You all have blah days or blah times of your day. And I was feeling very blah, and I was reminded. I think the Holy Spirit reminded me of this formula, this passage in 1 Thessalonians. And so I just began, I didn't write it down, but I just began to kind of list all these things that I have to be thankful for. And before I knew it, I was actually moved for tears right there in my office about all the things that God is doing for me and how good he is. His faithfulness, as Joy put it. How faithful he has been to me in my life and how ignorant I had been of those things because I wasn't perceptive. If you're struggling with being blah, if you're struggling with being apathetic, if you're struggling with being indifferent, then my suggestion to you is you just need a shot of thankfulness. You know, we all need a shot of the flu vaccine about this time of year. We need a shot of thankfulness too. You see this, you know, it's Black Friday, right? So you got the Canadian Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, and then as soon as it's like, oh, we're done with that. No more thanks. Like, we're just, give me the things now. And you just trample them for it, you know? Whatever it is. I need the new toy or the discount on the TV. And we totally forget to have an attitude of gratitude, I think, during the Christmas season. And we forget that that is the basis of our generosity. It is, isn't it? I think that's one reason that people are very generous around this time is because we get reminded, at least, that we have been given the gift of Jesus, the greatest gift of all, and that we have received a great amount. And when you are recipient of great generosity, I think you also become generous. And so you're in your day-to-day life when you're struggling with, you know, crying babies or difficult people at work or never-ending lists of tasks over and over, remind yourself to have an attitude of gratitude, and perhaps your attitude will change. So when someone hits your car and they drive away, which has happened to me many times, just be thankful that, hey, you know what? I got a car. And I have insurance that's going to cover that. Or I'll just paint it or something. You know, I don't really care anymore. So once you get hit a few times, you're like, I'm done. Just paint over this. When you're feeling overwhelmed by the busyness of life, you can look at it negatively, but you could also say, hey, you know what? It's nice to be wanted. And it's nice to have meaningful work and meaningful tasks. And you'll think back to those times that you were unemployed and how terrible it was to not have meaningful work and to not feel like you were wanted. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, our greatest motivation for giving God thanks and for giving him praise is because he deserves it. He absolutely deserves every single piece of praise we give him because every good thing comes from above and he has done it all for you. It reminds me of a story that Gordon Smith told, the same Gordon Smith I talked about earlier. I was once at a pastor's gathering, and he was the keynote speaker there. And he told a story about how every time as a family they would get to their destination safely, his mom would thank God for it. And, you know, Gordon Smith, he's a very intellectual guy, right? So one day he questioned her. He said, Mom, you know, all these other people are not giving thanks to God, but they're arriving safely. So, you know, why are we doing this? And this is what she said to him, and it stuck with him. She said, Gordon, everyone is under God's grace. We just choose to acknowledge it. That's a great truth of the Christian life, isn't it? Right? Thankfulness is about acknowledgement, really. It's not like we have more blessings than people who don't follow Jesus. Don't forget we follow a God of the cross, so Jesus said there's going to be suffering. In fact, we share in his suffering, and we actually have fellowship and joy in that suffering. What Jesus is saying is that, hey, like, we are ones that know where those good things are coming from. And we acknowledge God in those things, and we give thanks to him, the one who actually deserves it. We give the praise where the praise is due. And so I would say the degree to which you are thankful is the degree to which you are aware for what he's done for you. And so in your daily life, give him the thanks that he deserves, whether that's a safe journey you had or a meal you have to eat, or even if you smile. Every time you smile, realize that's just you experiencing some gift from the Father. And so give God thanks for that. But above all, we should be most thankful for the most greatest thing that he has ever done and could ever do for any single one of us, and that is that he gave his very life for us on the cross. That is the greatest thing. That is the greatest gift. We have the gift of salvation, and it's actually the greatest gift we can give other people. To hold it within would be a travesty. And every time we give that gift of grace to someone else, to show them that it's actually Jesus who paid it all. I forget the words of the song, but you know, that Jesus paid it all. Then we're giving them an opportunity to be able to give God praise for the same awesome things that they experience every day. And it gets God more glory. The purpose of this life is to give him glory and more glory to him. And every time someone comes to follow Jesus, they give him the glory. So no matter what were to happen to us in life, we must realize no matter how terrible things are, no matter how bad you may be suffering right now and how narrow-minded you may be to not be able to see all the thankfulness around you, you can always remember that you have the gift of salvation in Jesus. And nothing can take that away. And I must remind myself that even if I lost my job or my house or my family or my health or all these things, that I would still know that one day I'm going to be with Jesus forever, for eternity in paradise. And that is something to be thankful for. It is. And when we finally grasp the truth of the cross and the depth of that and the wonder of what we have to be thankful for in Jesus Christ, then it changes our hearts. Right? We can't change our heart. You know, the most difficult thing to change in the world is the heart. No one can change the heart. But God can change the heart. And so when you begin to reflect on what he's done for you, the Holy Spirit comes in and he changes your heart. And he lifts up your heart. And he gives you a heart of worship. He gives you a soft heart. A heart of flesh, as it says in his word in Ezekiel 36. And with that heart of flesh, you feel the love of God and you feel love for him and all of his creation. And you have a love and an appreciation that overflows. And people see that around you. Right? God always fills us to spill us. And it spills over when we have that gratitude in our hearts. And so that's really my hope and my prayer for you, is that you would experience an attitude of gratitude that permeates your life and overflows to those around you. So I invite you now to just join with me as we say a word of prayer to God and just thank him for all that he has done for us as we move into our time of communion where we get to specifically thank him for the cross. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, you are so good to us. Dear Father, Heavenly Father, who pours out every good gift to us because you're a good Father and we are your children, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good, good Father, and a good Father loves to give good gifts to his children. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. So Lord Jesus, I just want to even just personally myself just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for missing. Man, I miss your grace all the time. And I just focus on like the one speck on the clean window. I need your help, God. I confess that, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for not giving you the praise and the thankfulness that you deserve. And I ask that you would be so gracious to me, God, as to help me be perceptive, more perceptive. Prompt me, Holy Spirit, of when I should be giving thanks to God. Help me just to always be in prayer all the time, just shooting up these small prayers of thanksgiving to you. And that you would give me an attitude of gratitude in my heart, and that other people would be able to see that, and they would turn towards you and say, wow, that person really knows God. And God changes hearts. So Lord, would you be gracious to us and help us? And we all thank you for the safe journey you gave us here this morning as the roads were treacherous. And we ask for a safe journey home. And that when we get there, that before we get out of that car, that we would stop ourselves, stop our families and say, hey, you know what? Can we just give thanks for God? Even if nobody else is, we know we arrived safely because of his mighty hand on us. We thank you, God. We thank you for the cross. Amen. Now, the night before Jesus was arrested and executed, he gathered his disciples together for one last meal. There was bread there. There was wine there. It was called the Last Supper. And this is what he said to them. From the Gospel of Luke, it tells us, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took bread, and he gave thanks, and then he broke it. As we know, the bread was representative of his body. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew that his body was going to be broken the next day. And yet he gave thanks to God. See, Jesus was actually giving God thanks in all things and all circumstances, because he was giving God thanks for the hardest thing he was ever going to have to endure. And as we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, what we're doing is we're essentially perpetually giving God thanks for that sacrifice, for what he's done. As the whole church, throughout all of church history for the last 2,000 years, has been gathering together on a regular basis to say, thank you, God, for the cross, just as Jesus thanked God for the cross, even though he paid the highest price. So I encourage you today, as we share the Lord's Supper together, to reflect on that and to give thanks for God for all he's done for you.